సాయి శ్రోతలకు సాయిరాం. మరికొద్దిసేపట్లో ప్రశాంతి నిలయంలోని సాయి కుల్వంత్ సభామండపం నుండి ప్రత్యక్ష ప్రసారాలను మీరు వింటారు. దయచేసి వేచి ఉండండి. Live broadcast of the proceedings from the Sai Kulwant Hall at Prashanti Nilayam will follow shortly. Please stay tuned.
యాస్తే సహస్రగుం హేతయోన్యమస్మన్నివ బంతుతా सहस्राणि सहस्रदा बाहुवोस्तव हेतयः तासामेशानो भगवः पराचीना मुखाकृति ओ
सर्ववेदांत सिद्धांत गोचरम तमगोचरम साई गोविंदम परमानंदम सद्गुरुम प्रणतोस्म्यहम आई ऑफर माय एंटायर बीइंग एट द लोटस फीट ऑफ अ मोस्ट बिलवड लॉर्ड हुज नेचर इज ब्लिस इनफाइनाइट एंड हुज नोन थ्रू द इंपोर्ट्स ऑफ वेदांत स्वामी आई प्रे टू यू लेट आवर माइंड्स बी रूटेड इन अ स्पीच Let our speech be rooted in our minds. Let us never ever forsake what we have heard. May the teacher and the taught be always protected. Revered elders and my dear brothers and sisters, a loving Sai Ram to all of you. In these auspicious days of Navaratri, as each one of us extol the Supreme Mother, I too invoke her divine grace and blessings. To bestow upon each one of us the highest form of wealth that any individual can ever possess. I pray to Mother Shraddha for Shraddha. What is Shraddha? Very often we think that Shraddha is faith, Vishwasaha. Yes, Shraddha is faith. But it is much more than faith. Shraddha is the ability to put faith into action. The scriptures declare Shraddhati iti Shraddha. That which makes you work towards the truth so that you may know what the truth is, that work is Shraddha. The effort that each one of us puts in to know the ultimate goal of life, that effort is Shraddha. And in our daily lives, yes, the cheerfulness that is born out of the assurance that yes, my master is with me amidst all the apparent adversities, that cheerfulness is Shraddha. The enthusiasm to put into practice every word of the master, despite all the apparent difficulties, that enthusiasm is Shraddha. The joy and happiness that we get by living a life of supreme sacrifice, that joy, that happiness is Shraddha. The fire of renunciation, born out of pure love for the God, that fire is Shraddha. And finally, the eagerness to dedicate our entire lives to the Lord just to see that one smile on His face, that eagerness is Shraddha. Indeed, the supreme power that propels the motivation for individual transformation within our hearts, that supreme power is one to whom we worship in the form of Mother Shraddha. Dear brothers and sisters, not only today, but day after day after day, as we listen, sit here and listen to the inspiring talks and retire from Sai Sannidhi with this divine inspiration in our hearts, let us also in our hearts, in our intellect, nurture the catalyst that translates inspiration into action. I pray to Swami that we live in the awareness of who He is, of who we are. And that He gives each one of us the strength to manifest that awareness in our thoughts, words, and actions. Sharing with us today their divine experiences and inspiring us as instruments of Bhagwan, we have two speakers. The first speaker of the day is Brother Saurabh Kumar. Brother Saurabh joined the primary school in the first standard and since then has been a part of Bhagwan's institutions. He is currently pursuing his bachelor's degree in commerce from the Vrindavan campus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Brother Saurabh will be speaking to us on the 9 forms of devotion. The next speaker is Dr. P.L. Rani. Dr. Rani joined the Anantapur campus in 1988 for a graduation in physics. At Swami's command, ma'am did her MA in English and went on to complete her PhD on the theme of commitment from the SK University, Anantapur. Dr. Rani joined as a faculty at the Anantapur campus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in 1996. Currently, she is an assistant professor in the English department. Above all, she has had the rare opportunity to speak on numerous occasions in the divine presence of Bhagwan. I request both the speakers to come up and address the gathering in the order in which their names have been mentioned. Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering my loving pranams at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, a loving Sai Ram to all of you. It was Socrates who said, there is only one good, knowledge, and only one evil, ignorance. Navaratri marks the celebration of victory of good over evil, where the conflict between the two is not external, but internal. And it is to wipe out that ignorance and enlighten the soul that Navaratri offers us all a great opportunity. The goal of life, as we all know, is pretty clear. From him have we come, and to him shall we go. But this journey of life is peppered with roadblocks and deception points waiting to hoodwink our fickle mind, and therefore to guide mankind in its quest. The munificent Lord has enumerated as many as 9 paths of devotion, or more popularly known as the Navavidha Bhakti, as a means to achieve our goal. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Vandanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, and Atmanivedanam. All of them he has elaborated upon and illustrated them with glorious incidents from the past. For instance, he said that Parikshit was a classic example of how one attained liberation merely by listening to the divine leelas. Or in other words, chose Shravanam as his path. And also hailed Hanuman as an epitome of Dasya Bhakti. But today, as I stand here, I wish to dwell upon how Swami, in his own inimitable style, has taught each one of us how to choose a path and also walk the path till we reach him. And in our case, we are doubly fortunate, for he is not only the guide, but also the goal. Beginning with the first among the 9 paths, that is Shravanam, listening to the divine glory. When people all over the world listen to his leelas and mahimas, not only are they transformed, but redeemed for a lifetime. Be it the mellifluous bhajans, or the sacred Vedas, or the speeches, or the dramas. They all have struck a divine chord with those who have been an audience to the same. Millions have been inspired, millions have been touched, and millions have been purified simply by soaking themselves in the nectarine flow of experiences. Moving on to the second path of devotion, and that is Kirtanam, singing the divine glory. Music, he revealed, is the shortcut to reach God. And bhajans, the purest form of music, a musical treat for the Lord, has become the most popular form of expression of a devotee's love and surrender. But for the consummation of bhajans, all the three aspects, that is, the bhava, feeling, the raga, tune, and the tala, rhythm, have to be in perfect sync with each other. And similarly, for our life to be a melody, unison of thought, word, and deed is a prerequisite. Let me at this point of time recall an incident where Swami emphatically responded to a student's prayer while he was singing bhajans. Decades ago, the mother of a student fell seriously ill. The doctors had given up and said that it was only a matter of time for her inevitable departure. But this tenacious student, hoping against hope that Swami will respond to his call, earnestly prayed to the Lord for her recovery. And even as time was running out, he found himself sitting right in front of Swami, pouring his heart out through the blissful bhajans that were going on. The intensity of his feelings, emotions and sentiments peaked when he sang the bhajan, Sai Pita or Mata Sai. Touched by the supplication and surrender of the student, Swami decided to intervene. For here was a student whose physical mother was lying on her deathbed, and yet he was calling to the Lord as his divine mother and father. He was singing Sai Pita or Mata Sai. Swami immediately walked outside the bhajan hall, went straight into the corner room of the East Prashanthi building where the mother of the student was lying down, and comforted her lovingly, poured in her mouth a glass of water, granting her a new lease of life and curing her from all her illnesses. That was Swami. This student, meanwhile, mentally prepared to swallow the bitter pill, was deeply moved when he realized that Swami had reciprocated his love for him by curing his mother. Right from its inception, from the day when Swami taught the first bhajan, Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam, bhajans have come a long way in shaping the lives of millions of devotees, in inspiring generations to connect with the divine. Moving on to the next path of devotion, that is Vishnu Smaranam, remembering the name of the Lord. The name, it is said, is mightier than the Lord himself. Once a very learned scholar was narrating the story of Gajendra Moksha to the Maharaja and his courtiers in a very pedantic manner, and suddenly the king interrupted and asked him, "Tell me, Pandit, how far was the Vaikuntha from there?" And this learned Pandit had no answer to this question. He was nonplussed. Nor did any of the learned scholars present there have any clue regarding this issue. Finally, the servant of the king, who was fanning him from behind the throne, offered to furnish the answer if his impertinence be pardoned. The learned Pandit was shocked at his effrontery, but the Maharaja loved him to speak, and he said, "Your Majesty, Vaikuntha was only as far as the cry of the elephant could be heard." In the same way, dear brothers and sisters, when we say that Swami may be far away from us, the truth is, he is only as far as our heart's call reach out to him. Moving on to the next path of devotion, and that is Pada Sevanam. Worshipping the feet of the Lord in Indian culture is considered to be the quintessential form of expressing humility. Pada Namaskar and Pada Puja were no doubt a unique blessing conferred upon mankind, but they relate only to the physical aspect. Purusha Suktam describes it as Padosya Vishwa Bhutani Tripadasya Amritam Devi. The word Pada symbolizes the manifest universe, literally meaning one-fourth of the divine being, minor part of the creator. And therefore, serving humanity is equal to serving the Pada or the Lord himself. Moving on to the next path of devotion, and that is Vandanam. Saluting the Lord Himself. This is something which most of us seated here would have gone through. Right from the morning Suprabhatam to the night prayer, we all salute the Lord in His glory. But then, it's not a question of what we do, but how we do. For success is not the end result of hard work alone, but hard work complemented with a sincere prayer. Archanam, or worshipping the Lord, happens to be the sixth path laid down for expressing devotion. Perennial materializations of vibhuti, kumkum, and so on, and manifestations of His divine form in flesh and blood are only a sample of how the Lord chooses to incarnate, to manifest His glory to those devotees who perform archana with full faith and devotion. Yagnas like the ongoing Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yagna or the Atirudra Mahayagna, and pujas like the Satyanarayan Puja, which are performed as per the injunctions of the Shastras, are nothing but an outpouring of man's love and humility for God. The seventh form of expressing devotion is Dasyam, serving the Lord. Implicit obedience to the Master is the hallmark of men and women who choose this path. For they know that when the Lord ordains them to do something, He also gives them the strength to do it. Coming to the penultimate form of expressing devotion, that is Sneham or Sakhyam, friendship with the Lord, probably the most intimate and endearing approach. Let me recall a very famous anecdote involving Swami and His student. Swami once asked the student, "How many brothers do you have?" The student promptly replied, "Swami, two brothers." Swami then corrected him and said, "All are your brothers and sisters." Swami interestingly posed another question, and this time He asked, "How many friends do you have?" The boy, probably a little too smart, taking a cue from what Swami had told earlier, promptly replied, "Swami, all are my friends." Swami again corrected him and said, "You are wrong. There is only one friend, one true friend, and He is God." No wonder it's more important to be friendly to all than to just count the number of friends we have. A friend in need is a friend indeed. To illustrate this, I would like to share a personal experience of mine, which occurred way back in my fourth standard when I was studying in the primary school. I vividly remember it was 6th of January 2001. We had gone for our birthday blessings, and after interacting with all of us for quite some time, signing our photographs, Swami finally created vibhuti for each one of us and placed it in our little palms. The senior student who accompanied Swami gave each one of us a slip of paper so that we fold the paper into a packet and later put the vibhuti inside it. Now, out of my childish innocence, or rather ignorance, I simply stared at Swami's face, not knowing what to do. I mean, I had no idea as to how to fold that paper into a packet. And looking around, seeing my brothers do the same so artfully, only made me feel a little more clueless. And then, just like a loving and caring friend, Swami extended His helping hand when I needed Him the most, and asked me to hand over the slip of paper, and step by step, meticulously taught me how to fold that paper into a packet and then placed it back in my hands. That is Swami. Even to this day, when I reflect upon it, I do feel nostalgic for missing such a friend, but definitely assured of having someone to take care of you. Even to this day, I may still be clueless about folding the paper, but definitely aware of His warmth and love. Moving on to the final and perhaps the most awe-inspiring form of expressing devotion, and that is Atmanivedanam, complete surrender of oneself to the Lord with nothing held back. Once, when a student was speaking in front of Swami, he said, "Swami, I'm ready to die for you." Swami called him and said, "Don't die for me, live for me." But then, How do we live for Him? The only answer is, love Him. And love Him unconditionally. For love alone will kindle in our hearts the desire to surrender ourselves to Him. And once we do that, then our life is worth living. Well, brothers and sisters, this is what I intended to share with you all. The 9 forms of expressing devotion. The Navavidha Bhakti, hoping and praying that we choose some path or the other and follow it up with suitable action. The ball now is in our court. All that we need to do is play well and play smart. For it's not a question of whether to be or not to be. It's a question of how to be and how not to be. With these thoughts, I conclude. Jai Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Revered elders with great experiences, dear youngsters who are so blessed to be in the Sai atmosphere at your age, fortunate fellow pilgrims on the Sai path, my loving Sai Ram to each of you. Overnight, I have had to make amendments in the introduction to my talk. I'm compelled to add an unplanned preface because of a very small yet significant thing that happened to me this morning. And it looks like the divine ordain that I share it with all of you because of its larger implications and message that is universal. Last night, after a particularly tiring day, I was planning this talk in my mind and putting thoughts into order. And there were 2 conflicting feelings that were filling my mind. On one side was this sense of gratitude, responsibility, and loving duty that I owe to Swami, which is the motivation for this talk. While on the other side lurked a tinge of sadness that this time, compared to every other time that I've had an opportunity to be here, there is a shade of difference. And I felt it was a very clever phrase to think of this shade of difference, because to me, it was indeed the shade of difference from the vibrant orange to the sparkling white marble, I thought. And Bhagwan, in his most inimitable manner, decided to disprove this to me. I'm not a person who gets frequent dreams of Swami or who works on a practical worldly level based on some dreams. I haven't had one for so many months, and I definitely didn't have any after April particularly. But suddenly, when I woke up this morning, I woke up with a very pleasant feeling. And I quickly recalled that I'd had a beautiful message. In my dream, the scene set was of those 3 painful days right here when the immortal one had decided to leave the mortal coil. The scene was repeating in my dream, and I in my mind was deciding that I'm not going to go and see this because I cannot bear to see the lost luster on that face, or so I imagined. You won't believe, my curiosity got the better of me, and after a little while, I began to, from a distance, peek to see, look at that charming form which always charmed all our lives. I got a little closer, and then I see that it is that beautiful, effulgent, brilliant, same old face of Swami. And I feel so relieved and so satisfied. Just when so vividly Swami's eyelids opened, mind you, he was on the same casket without the glass case. The eyelids opened, and in a fit of panic and fear, I actually sprang backwards. First time ever anybody springs backwards when you see Swami. He then raised his palms and he beckoned me, and I was even more afraid, which was a strange feeling for me. When third time he beckoned to me, I went near and he placed his palm on mine. And the immediate tangible sensation that I felt was the warmth of the hand. Of course, the dream was a little longer, but what is relevant here is the message went home immediately, even in my sleep. And I knew that in those moments of weak faith, we tend to believe that that orange form has entombed himself here. He meant to say, because warmth is a sign of love and life. And I thought he was telling all of us today that God cannot be a memory. He is a living presence. Let me now launch on this pleasant task of sharing my thoughts with you. When you're faced with a choice of a topic to speak on, you have many choices. You can sound scholarly, quoting from the Upanishads, chant the Vedas, recite the Bhagavad Gita, take commentaries of works, scriptures. But then, when I was going through this in my mind, one particular incident of the early 90s passed my mind. It was the 90s when I was an undergraduate student. And winter vacations, we always waited for it because the few of us who chose to stay on, Bhagwan would somehow shower special blessings and grace. So it's one such occasion when Bhagwan decided that every afternoon he would spend time exclusively with the students and the staff in the Purnachandra auditorium. So at about 2 or 2:30 in the afternoon, we would quite literally sneak in to avoid public attention through the half-open shutters. And then we had this beautiful 1.5 to 2 hour session with Swami, which ended always with snacks with Sai, as I would like to think of it. We'd have tea and snacks also with Bhagwan before he emerged for darshan. So on one such day, Bhagwan decided to talk to all of us about the art of public speaking. He wanted to train his students to become good speakers. And a lot of things from that session I remember, but what is relevant today is, I remember the gist of what Bhagwan said that day. Bhagwan said, when you speak, you have to be convincing. And when can you be convincing? Only when you are yourself convinced. And what are you most convinced about? You are most convinced about what has been your experience, what you believe in, what you have gone through. As soon as I recalled this dictum of Swami, this message from Swami, I immediately knew that the singular experience that stands out in all our lives is the fact that we lived with God, God lived with us. And so, the beautiful story of Sai is what I intend to share with you today. It's also nice to recollect in our minds that vibrant orange form that so gently and gracefully came in, the smiles that approved, the nods, the words that encouraged, the gestures that guided, sometimes the grimaces that disapproved, all of it is so alive and fresh in most of our minds. But other than charming us with this beautiful form, he always took special care to make what he intended to teach us palatable, interesting, and memorable to us. And that's how Swami always came up with the 3 P's or the 4 F's or the 5 D's. And today, I'm inspired by Swami to speak on the 3 S's. Let's start with the very name of our Lord, Sri Satya Sai, the S-S-S. In fact, there was a time the old mandir here also had on the parapet the initials S-S-S. If you go a step higher and look at how Bhagwan liked to define himself to us, he always said that he is only a reflection, resound, reaction. And to make that understandable, Swami said, Sai ki sarvamo yes, yes, yes. The triple S. Go a little further. Take the story of his life. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. S, S, S. And there's a very beautiful incident that Professor Kasturi narrates about how this title came up. And pardon me for repeating this. Those of you who have already read it in The Loving God, but I have this great temptation to repeat it because it's so beautiful. You know, the Sanatana Sarthi Press was somewhere right nearby the mandir in those early days. And being the editor of Sanatana Sarthi Press, Professor Kasturi was one day standing just outside the press when a gentleman walked up to him and asked him seemingly, is there any book on Swami? And then he said, no, I'm sorry, there isn't any book except a monthly magazine. Bhagwan, who was watching all of this from the first floor, immediately summoned him. Professor Kasturi went to Bhagwan's presence and Swami said, so what did the gentleman ask you? He said, Swami, he asked me if there was any book on you. And so what did you reply? Swami, I said there wasn't any. And you know what Swami said? Swami said, that is not the right answer. You ought to have told him that this Swami cannot be understood through books. Professor Kasturi was taken aback. Although he liked the profundity of the message, he was a little disappointed. For the reason, in his mind he was nurturing this hope of writing a book on Swami when the moment comes. And after Swami made the statement, it seemed like that occasion is not going to come again. So he carped over it and brooded over it a little while. Meanwhile, Bhagwan made a visit to Madras and Venkatagiri, and as soon as he came back, he called for Professor Kasturi, who went shivering to Swami thinking, now what am I going to be chastised for? And Bhagwan said, you know what? People everywhere, they're asking me, is there any literature on you, Swami? Has anyone written a book on you? And what are you doing here? You're sitting quiet here without doing anything about it. Now he thought this was his opportune moment and he set to writing the book. When the first draft was ready and he had to take it to Swami, he had to think of a title. And then he went through the Upanishad scriptures, Puranas, he says, and didn't get any close to a phrase better than Satyam Jnanam Anantam. But he knew it had to be triple S. The life of Sri Satya Sai also should have SSS. And he also knew Satyam could be one word there because it is a story of Satya's life. But he didn't know what the other two S's had to be. It could be Shubham, it could be Shantam, it could be Santosham, and he didn't know what to do. Until one day he was just inspired to, this phrase, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, came to his mind. So he made a quick journey to Nandanavanam, that is the earlier Trayi Vrindavan, where Bhagwan was at that time. And he made this proposal to Swami saying, Swami, could we name the book Satyam Shivam Sundaram? Swami immediately approved of it. Not only approved of it, Swami went into the room, came back with an album, pulled out three of his own photographs. All of them clicked a few moments after the other. And Swami said, you can use these three photographs on the cover page of the book that is to come. Then he said, the first picture that looks serious is Satyam. The one with a bud of smile is Shivam, and the one with a full smile is Sundaram. Now, Professor Kasturi was more than happy that Swami not only endorsed it, emphasized that it is a best title that he could give. Now, 2 years later, on a Shivratri day, the Telugu's translation of Satyam Shivam Sundaram was being published, and in the course of the discourse, Swami said to the public, You might wonder why I am so excited about a book on my life. That's also because the title is so significant. And Swami went on to explain how Satyam Shivam Sundaram, truth, goodness, beauty, is Swami immanent in all of us. And he explained very briefly, I'm trying to cut this short. Swami said, your real nature is truth. That is reality. Precisely why if somebody calls you a liar, you don't like it. You're also innately goodness, joy, happiness, auspiciousness, Shivam. And definitely we don't like it if somebody calls us ugly. That's because your innate nature is Sundaram or beauty. So that's what Swami... So now, Professor Kasturi, I'll take a little diversion for 2 minutes to finish the story, although I must go on with my theme. Professor Kasturi felt very elated and very happy that he had struck on the right title. Until one, and nobody had traced the source of this three words, this phrase. So he thought he was actually, kind of discovered this new thing. Until Dr. Bhagavantam told him that he came upon this phrase in a talk by Swami Vivekananda. So Professor Kasturi went, searched for it, found this title and found that Swami Vivekananda was using this same phrase in the context of talking about the coming of the Lord of Truth. Now, Professor Kasturi was even more elated and the ego became a little more inflated because, oh perfect, talking about the Lord of Truth, Satya Sai, and what a perfect title I gave. Until one day he came upon this Ramcharitmanas, on which he found on the preface, on the front page, Satyam Shivam Sundaram with a Shivalingam drawn just below it. So went on to find out how this came up, and he discovered that when Goswami Tulsidas wrote this vernacular Ramayana, there was debate amongst the pundits in Banaras. They said, how can it be authentic, the vernacular version? So they decided to place it at the Vishveshwara Lingam in the temple. So in one night, all the pundits go there, they put the palm leaves there, and then they pray that the Lord endorses it or rejects it. Next morning when they open, they find on the palm leaf, Satyam Shivam Sundaram written with a Shivalingam as the Lord's signature below it. So he discovered it was after all not his own. The ego completely deflated. He realized that Lord Shiva had endorsed this as the ideal name for the title or the biography of the life of the Lord. Now, what is the relevance of all this for us? Let me make it more topical and relevant for us. What are the three S's in our lives now? I'm talking particularly about these 10 days of Dasara and Navaratri. If you look at the three S's, there is service in the form of Gram Seva. There is sacrifice in the form of the Veda Purusha Saptaha Yajna. There is satsang in the evening in the form of the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha. The three S's form a beautiful part of our routine. I'll quickly go through a few thoughts on each of this and the benefits they accrue. We accrue from them. When you look at the Gram Seva part of it, there is the external, evident aspect of it, which is human labor, physical efforts. The girls keep awake, the boys carry heavy loads, people walk miles to reach a village. All of this, the sevadals toil from evening to keep the food ready by night, and a lot of effort that's happening at the external level. But what internal benefit, or what is the inner significance? What is actually intended by all this? In the first place, I would talk about something that sounds mundane, but sleep is the biggest hurdle in our spiritual or material progress. And when the girls have to ungrudgingly keep awake the whole night, it is actually a beginning to control of senses. Whether we like it or not, it actually is. Secondly, the food that's being packed and the food that's being carried, it's done for people whom you do not know. When you get reports of, or when you witness the tears in the eyes of an old lady who's been ailing, in the eyes of the family who's been starving, then you know that there is great fulfillment in doing something for someone other than yourself. And that is the beginning of your training in selflessness. And selflessness can actually be a royal road to self-realization. It sounds big, but it's so true. Let's take the second part of it, the yajna. Externally, yajnas are meant to purify. the purificatory effects of yajna, the fire, the smoke, the fumes, everything. They kill the germs, they purify the atmosphere, they say it's very good to inhale that, and so on and so forth. Look at the chanting. The chanting that's done rhythmically also allows to strike some kind of harmony and balance. You know, the heartbeat is more or less stabilized when you're listening to the chant with great intent. Also, we believe that the highest knowledge is deposited with the Brahmins, and pleasing the Brahmin can actually attract auspiciousness and blessings. Now, all of this is externally achieved when the yajna happens. Look at the English, the poor English translation of the word yajna, sacrifice. And if we were to look at the meaning, it meant give up. But nevertheless, the action verb, sorry, that's because I'm an English teacher, the action verb there is give. And that's what Swami did all 85 years of his life. Give, 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 and give. So the first clue lies there. The second clue is to give up sacrifice. And what to give up? All the evil, all the vices. He's so kind. Swami says, bring all the soiled currency notes. I'll give fresh notes to you. Bring all your vices. Let it get charred in this flame. But more than this, there is one perception that I received from a friend in a casual conversation the other day. She said, look here, you know, the flame is always orange. And orange has a special symbolic significance for us. And offering everything to the flame is like offering everything to that orange form that charmed us. So if we lived our lives like that, it can be purified, like how the flame, the yajna, purifies. The third thing is the satsang. So we all gather here. They say it's the gathering of sajjana, which leads to satsang, listening to noble thoughts. Swami has been kind to expand it and tell us it need not be only company of good people. It can also be the company of good thoughts, good books, good ideas, good activities. All of this can be classified under satsang. But how is this essentially important? It's important because Shravanam is the thing that leads to Mananam, and that's what will lead to Nididhyasanam. So until we are continuously listening, and then which consciously or subconsciously does help us to focus on Swami, on the essence of things, we cannot be doing the seva in its essence. We cannot be blending love with the service. We cannot be respecting and revering our rituals. So the earlier two, the backup for the earlier two comes from the satsang and the thoughts we gather from here. When I looked at all of these three, one thing came to my mind. We are all like distance education learners, you know, students of distance education. And these 9 days seem to me like the contact program. In a contact program, they very rigorously and intensively deal with the entire curriculum, leave out nothing, to ensure that you pass your course. And that's what Swami does. Look at the marvelous manner in which Swami has packaged a course for each of us. And he doesn't use the spiritual jargons to put us off. He simply calls it Gram Seva, Yajna, and Mahasabha here. You look at it holistically, the body, mind, and soul. All the three are catered to. The Seva, the service, the sacrifice, and the Satsang caters to body, mind, soul. Also, when we classify people, we say somebody is a karma yogi, somebody is a bhakti yogi, somebody is a jnana yogi. You have to go slowly from one stage to the other. But here is an instance, an exceptional instance of a case where in the morning you are part of karma yoga, in the afternoon you are part of bhakti yoga, in the evening you are part of jnana yoga, and you're doing all at one time. So fast, so easy. He hastens our spiritual progress in such simple manners and we don't realize it. And thirdly, I was looking at something. The Chandogya Upanishad says, dharma rests on three pillars. And what are they? Yajna, Adhyayana, Dana. Once again, the same three things. Yajna, Adhyayana is self-study, which all of us do as a part of this. We're sharing knowledge, sharing wisdom. Jnana, Vijnana goes back and forth in a Prashanti Vidvan Mahasabha like this. And then Dana, charity, giving, which comes an essential part of the Gram Seva that we're doing. Having got all these thoughts in my mind, I really, really, really was overwhelmed, because there cannot be in the history of the pagan of gods, goddesses, semi-gods, demigods, saints, take anybody whosoever, we haven't had a God who is such a master planner, who ensures that every individual goes through the curriculum without even knowing that you're going through the curriculum. You know, the students know the pain of sitting through classes to finish syllabus. But we don't even feel the tedium of this otherwise tedious spiritual course. And before we realize, we might be there. All we have to do is take the legacy of the Lord seriously, earnestly, intensely. When I conclude, there is just one thought, one prayer that is uppermost in my mind. And I use the poetic lines of George Herbert to say this. Thou who hast given so much to me, grant one thing more, a grateful heart, a thankful heart, not thankful when it pleaseth me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose very pulse is thy praise. Yes, Swami, bestow on all of us a heart whose very pulse is thy praise. Sai Ram.
Thank you, Dr. Rani, for sharing those wonderful experiences. And as I could see, just recollecting those days brings so much joy and love to our hearts. I also thank a young brother from the Vrindavan campus who spoke so eloquently, as expected from the students of Bhagwan's Institute. I pray to Swami that every word that we have heard today enters our intellect and gets embedded in our lives. We now have a short clipping from the Divine Discourse given by Bhagavan on the 21st of October 2001, which will be followed by a musical offering by the students of the Vrindavan campus. Thank you, Sai Ram.
Embodiments of love.
ప్రాచీన కాలం నుండి వచ్చినటువంటి చరిత్రలు ఎంత పవిత్రమైనటువంటి బోధనలు చేస్తూ వచ్చారు.
ది హిస్టరీ రివీల్స్ ద సీక్రెట్ స్టోరీస్ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ ఆఫ్
ఈనాడు అట్టి పవిత్రమైన చరిత్రను ఎవరు చదవడానికి ప్రయత్నించడం లేదు.
టుడే నో వన్ ఇస్ ప్రిపేర్ ఈవెన్ టు రీడ్ ది స్టోరీస్ ఆఫ్ ది పాస్ట్.
ఏమిటి ఈనాటి పిల్లల చదువులు?
What is that you read today?
ఏమో గొప్ప గొప్ప బిరుదులు పొందినారు.
You got very big title.
గొప్ప గొప్ప డిగ్రీలు అందుకుంటున్నారు.
And you acquired degrees.
కానీ ఈ డిగ్రీల వల్ల వచ్చేటువంటి ఫలితం ఏమిటో నాకు అర్థం కావటం లేదు.
But what is the result that you get out of these degrees is not known.
మోరల్ క్లాసెస్ అనేటువంటిది పెట్టి నీతి నిజాయితీ నుంచి కూడా దీంతో నిరూపించి
సో ద మొరాలిటీ
పిల్లలకు ప్రాచీన సంస్కృతిని ప్రబోధించాలని చెప్పి కూడా నేను అధ్యాపకులకు చెప్తుంటాను.
భగవాన్ ఆల్వేస్ టెల్స్ టీచర్స్ టు టీచ్ దీస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ఆఫ్ మొరాలిటీ అండ్ ఇంటిగ్రిటీ బిసైడ్స్ ఏన్షియంట్ కల్చర్.
ప్రాచీన కాలం నుండి మొట్టమొదటి అక్షర శ్రీకారం చేయటం ఏ విధంగా చేసేటువంటి వాళ్ళు?
ఇన్ ఏన్షియంట్ డేస్ హౌ లెర్నింగ్
స్టార్టెడ్. నమ శివాయ పంచాక్షరి నామాన్ని బోధించేవాడు.
ఓం నమ శివాయ వాజ్ టాట్ ఇట్ ద బిగినింగ్.
అది కాకుండా ఉండేటప్పుడు ఓం నమో నారాయణాయ అష్టాక్షరణాన్ని బోధించేటువంటి వాడు.
ఆర్ లెర్నింగ్ స్టార్టెడ్ విత్ ఓం నమో నారాయణాయ.
ఇలాంటి అక్షర శ్రీకారం చేతనే ఆనాటి విద్యార్థులను పవిత్రమైనటువంటి ఒక ఆదర్శ పురుషులుగా తీర్చిదిద్దుతూ వచ్చారు.
బికాస్ ఆఫ్ లెర్నింగ్ విత్ దీస్ దే కుడ్ బికమ్ సో గ్రేట్.
ఈనాటి అక్షర శ్రీకారం ఏమిటది?
టుడే హౌ డూ యూ స్టార్ట్ లెర్నింగ్?
డింగ్ డాంగ్ బెల్ పూసిస్ ఇన్ ది వెల్.
డింగ్ డాంగ్ బెల్
ఇది మనం నేర్చుకునేది. ఈనాడు మనం నేర్చుకోవాల్సినటువంటి అక్షర శ్రీకారం ఎంత పవిత్రమైనదిగా ఉంటుండాలి.
ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ వన్ షుడ్ స్టార్ట్ లెర్నింగ్ ఇన్ సీక్రెట్ వే.
బ్లాక్ షీప్ black sheep.
We have become black sheep indeed.
And those sheep are called black sheep.
That too black sheep. Is that what we learn? Is that the way to begin studying? No. We should, in fact, we start with this moral principle. We should start with God's name.
ఈ విధంగా ప్రాచీన కాలం నుండి వచ్చినటువంటి భారతీయ సంస్కృతిని తిరిగి మీరు పునరుద్ధరింపజేస్తారని ఎంతో కొండంత ఆశతో ఉంటున్నాను.
భగవాన్ హెస్ గాట్ వెరీ హై ఎక్స్పెక్టేషన్స్ హోప్స్ ఆన్ యూ దట్ యూ విల్ బి ఏబుల్ టు రిజువనేట్ రీవైటలైజ్ బ్రింగ్ బ్యాక్ ది ఎన్షియంట్ కల్చర్ అండ్ ట్రెడిషన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ కంట్రీ.
ఎందుకు నిమిత్తమై ఈ ప్రాచీన సంస్కృతిని మీ ద్వారానే ఈ జగత్తుకు చాటాలి.
ది ఎన్షియంట్ కల్చర్ హెస్ గాట్ టు బి ప్రొపగేటెడ్ త్రూ యూ.
మీరే దీనికి తగినటువంటి నాయకులు.
యు ఆర్ ద రైట్ లీడర్.
మీరే దీనికి తగినటువంటి సమర్థులు.
యు ఆర్ ద డిజర్వ్డ్ వన్.
ప్రాచీన కాలం యొక్క సంస్కృతిని పునరుద్ధరింపజేయడానికి మీకే తగినటువంటి శక్తి కలదు.
యు గాట్ ఆల్ ద కెపాసిటీ టు ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ అలాంటి సంస్కృతిని
గాడిచి అలాంటి సంస్కృతిని పెంచి ఇలాంటి సంస్కారాన్ని నిలబెట్టాలి.
అండ్ ద కల్చర్ అండ్ ద ట్రెడిషన్ హావ్ గాట్ టు బి పాస్డ్ ఆన్.
ఈ సంస్కారం అనేటువంటిది తెచ్చుకుంటే వచ్చేటువంటిది కాదు.
ద కల్చర్ కెనాట్ బి సింప్లీ అక్వైర్డ్.
మన హృదయం నుండి ఆవిర్భవించేటువంటిది.
ఇట్ హాస్ టు ఒరిజినేట్ అవుట్.
సంస్కారం అనగా ఏమిటి?
వాట్ ఇస్ కల్చర్?
నిత్య జీవితంలో ఉన్నటువంటి దురభ్యాసంలో దూరం గావించి
గివింగ్ అప్ ఆల్ బ్యాడ్ క్వాలిటీస్
సదభ్యాసాలను పెంచుకుని
కల్టివేటింగ్ గుడ్ హ్యాబిట్స్
సచ్చీనత్యపన జీవించడమే సంస్కారం.
లీడింగ్ ది లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ క్యారెక్టర్ ఈజ్ కల్చర్.
అది ఏ సంస్కారం అంటే కల్చర్ అంటే ఏమిటి?
వాట్ ఇస్ కల్చర్?
ఏదో మన భారతీయ కల్చర్ అంటే ఏదో ఒకటి రామాయణము మహాభారతం అని చెప్పడం ఇవి మాత్రం కాదు కల్చర్.
ఇండియన్ కల్చర్ డస్ నాట్ మీన్ నరేషన్.
నిత్య జీవితంలో ఉన్నటువంటి మన దురభ్యాసములను
బ్యాడ్ హ్యాబిట్స్
దుర్గుణములను
బ్యాడ్ క్వాలిటీ
దురాచారములను
బ్యాడ్ ప్రాక్టీస్
దుస్సంగములను
బ్యాడ్ కంపెనీ
దూరము గావించి సదభ్యాసములను సచ్చింతనను సత్ప్రవర్తనను సచ్చీనతను పెంచుకోవటమే.
వన్ హ్యాస్ టు డెవలప్ గుడ్ థాట్స్ గుడ్ ఫీలింగ్స్ గుడ్ ఐడియాస్ అండ్ గుడ్ ప్రాక్టీస్.
చిన్న ఉదాహరణము
స్మాల్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్
మన పవిత్రమైన భారతీయులు ఫార్మర్స్ చేర్చిగాడిగా ఉండేటువంటి వాళ్ళు.
ద ఫార్మర్స్ ఫార్మర్ మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఇండియన్స్ ఆర్ అగ్రికల్చర్
దున్ని భూమిని ఆధారం చేసుకుని ఆ భూదేవి ఇచ్చినటువంటి ప్రసాదం భుజించి సత్కీర్తిని పొందేటువంటి వారు.
దే కల్టివేట్ ది ల్యాండ్ అండ్ దే క్యారీ దేర్ లైవ్లీహుడ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ది క్రాప్స్.
అక్కడ ఏం సంస్కారాన్ని పొందారు?
వాట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ కల్చర్ దే హ్యాడ్?
మనకు అందరికి తెలిసినటువంటి విషయమే.
యు ఆల్ నో దిస్.
గడ్డితో పుట్టినటువంటి వడ్డను ప్యాడీ
వుడ్ నో సంథింగ్ ది ప్యాడీ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ది గ్రాస్
దాన్ని చక్కగా వేరు చేసి
అండ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ సెపరేటెడ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ది హస్క్.
ఆ ప్యాడీని
దట్ ప్యాడీ
తిరిగి మిషన్ లో వేసి లేక దంచో
అండ్ పుట్ ఇన్ ది మెషిన్ ఆర్
పైన పొట్టునంతా తీసివేసి
హస్క్ ఇస్ రిమూవ్డ్.
పొట్టును తీసిన తర్వాత బియ్యాన్ని చక్కగా పాకం చేసి
అండ్ దట్ బాయిల్డ్
దీన్ని బాగా ఉడకబెట్టి
అండ్ ఇస్ కుక్డ్ వెల్
దానిని భుజించడమే ఇది సంస్కారము.
అండ్ ఈ పార్టేకింగ్ దట్ ఫుడ్ ఇస్ కల్చర్.
పుట్టిన వడ్లని వడ్డని అట్టని తింటాడా ఎవడైనా?
యూ డోంట్ పార్టేక్ ది ప్యాడీ.
ఆ గడ్డిని ఎట్టైనా తింటాడా వాడు?
డూ యూ పార్టేక్ గ్రాస్?
గడ్డిని నీవు తింటున్నావు అంటే నీవు ఒక పశువు.
ఇఫ్ యూ స్టార్ట్ ఈటింగ్ గ్రాస్ యువర్ అన్ అనిమల్.
గడ్డిని వేరు చేయాలి.
యూ సెపరేట్ ది
వడ్డని వేరు చేయాలి.
ది హస్క్ మస్ట్ బి సెపరేట్.
వడ్డను దంచి దానిపైన హస్క్ ను వేరు చేయాలి.
అండ్ హస్క్ మస్ట్ బి సెపరేటెడ్ అవుట్ అండ్ ద రైస్ మస్ట్ బి కుక్డ్.
ఆ హస్క్ ని వేరు చేసిన తర్వాతనే దీన్ని అగ్నిలో వేసి దీని అగ్ని సంస్కారం గావించి దాన్ని భుజించాలి.
అండ్ దెన్ ఇట్ మస్ట్ బి బాయిల్డ్ దేర్ ప్రాపర్లీ కుక్డ్ అండ్ పార్టేకెన్ దట్ ఇస్ కల్చర్.
కనుకనే ఈ సంస్కారం చిన్నదేని నుంచి కూడాను ప్రతి వస్తువునందు కూడాను సంస్కరింపజేసుకుంటున్నాం మనం.
ఎవ్రీథింగ్ హాస్ గాట్ టు బి కల్చర్డ్ ఆర్ రిఫైన్డ్.
ఒక చిన్న ఉదాహరణ మీరే చూసుకోండి.
ఏ స్మాల్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్
రెండు గజాల షర్టును మీరు తీసుకుని వస్తున్నారు.
యూ బ్రింగ్ టూ యార్డ్స్ క్లాత్.
రెండు గజాల షర్టును తీసుకుని వస్తే ఆ షర్టును రెండు గజాలు మీరు కప్పుకోవటం లేదు.
యూ డోంట్ కవర్ యువర్ బాడీ విత్ టూ యార్డ్స్ క్లాత్.
దాన్ని చక్కగా
in a nice way
tailor దగ్గరికి ఇచ్చి
take it to the tailor.
వాడు కత్తితో కత్తిరించి
he'll cut it with the scissor.
సీజర్ తో ఉడికి దానికి కుట్టించి
and he'll also stitch it with the needle.
రెట్టలు గాను కాలర్ గాను రోజు జోబీ గాను ఈ విధంగా కుట్టించి చక్కగా అలంకారం చేసి మీరు ధరిస్తున్నారు.
అండ్ యూ స్టిచ్ ది టూ యార్ షర్ట్ ఇన్ సచ్ ఎ వే టు హావ్ ద హ్యాండ్స్ అండ్ ద కాలర్ ఆఫ్ ద పాకెట్.
కుట్టిన వస్త్రాన్ని చొక్కాగా మీరు సైజు రీతిగా కుట్టించుకోవటం ధరించుకోవటం ఆనందించడం ఇదే సంస్కారం.
ద కల్చర్ లైస్ ఇన్ మేకింగ్ ది టూ యార్డ్స్ క్లాత్ ఇన్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్
చిన్నదాని. ఎందుకు భారతీయుల యొక్క సంస్కృతి ఎంత పవిత్రమైనటువంటిదో మీరు యోచించుకోండి.
ద కల్చర్ ఇన్ ఎవరీ ఆస్పెక్ట్ ఈస్ రివీల్డ్ ఇన్ ఎ నైస్ వే.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క సంస్కారాన్ని మనం విస్మరించి
We are forgetting this culture.
సంస్కారం అంటే అదేదో ప్రాచీనమైనటువంటి ధర్మం మాకు అక్కర్లేదంటుంటారు.
We consider this culture as archaic or outdated.
ఈ కల్చర్ అనేటువంటిది అర్థం చేసుకునేటువంటి మూర్ఖుడే ఇది ప్రాచీన సంస్కారం అనుకోవటం.
It's only fool who does not understand the true spirit of culture.
జీవితానికి సత్యమైనటువంటి మార్గాన్ని నిరూపించేటువంటిది ఈ సంస్కారం.
And in fact, culture proves the value of the truth which we have to adopt.
పశువులుగా పుట్టినటువంటి మనమును మానవులుగా తీర్చిదిద్ది దైవంగా తీర్చిపెట్టుకోవటమే.
In fact, we have evolved of the animal kingdom and we are human beings to reach the divine state.
మానవుడిగా పుట్టినావు.
You are born as a human.
మానవుడిగానే చచ్చి ప్రయోజనం లేదు.
It's useless if you die as a human being.
మానవుడిగా పుట్టి దైవంగా నీవు దీని శరీరాన్ని వదలాలి.
Having been born a human being, you should end your life as divine.
మానవుడిగా పుట్టి మానవుడిగా చచ్చినప్పుడు నీవు ఏమి సాధించిన వాడవుతావు?
If you just end your life as a human, what is it you
achieve? ఈ విధంగా చస్తాడా?
With all your education, what for is this when there's no evolution?
చదువులెన్నో చదివి,
having all the education,
ఏమి ప్రయోజనము?
What is the use?
ఈనాడు గ్రంథ పరిచయం తీసుకుంటే దాంట్లో చదివినటువంటి కంఠస్థం చేసి ఎగ్జామినేషన్ హాల్లో పోయి నేను తలనంత ఖాళీ చేసుకుని ఎంటీ హెడ్ తోని ఇంటికి వచ్చేదానికంటే ఈ చదువు లేకుండా పోవటమే మంచిది.
టుడే వీ హావ్ గాట్ ది టెక్స్చువల్ ఇన్ఫర్మేషన్ జస్ట్ బ్రాట్ ఇన్ టు ది హెడ్ అండ్ వామిట్ దేర్ ఇన్ ది ఎగ్జామినేషన్ రిటర్న్ ఎంటీ హెడెడ్. వాట్ ఫార్?
ఈనాటి పిల్లలందరినీ కూడా నేను చూస్తున్నాను బాగా.
భగవాన్ హాస్ బీన్ వాచింగ్ అస్.
ఎగ్జామినేషన్ టైంలో కష్టపడి కష్టపడి చదువుతారు.
They study very hard at the time of examination.
రాత్రంతా నిద్ర మేల్కొని చదువుతారు.
They are awake throughout night.
కానీ ఎగ్జామినేషన్ హాల్లో పోతారు.
They go to the examination hall.
దానంతా కంఠస్థం చేసుకున్నంత రాస్తారు.
All that they got it by heart, they try to write.
అయిపోయింది అనుకుని బాగా ఫ్రీగా ఇంటికి వస్తారు.
And they return home freely.
రెండవ దినమే ఆ యొక్క ఆన్సర్ కు తనకి తానే జవాబు చెప్పలేడు.
Next day they cannot give the reply to the question.
ఇది bookish knowledge.
This is bookish knowledge.
దీన్ని superficial knowledge అన్నారు.
This is superficial knowledge.
Superficial knowledge చేసి ప్రయోజనం ఏమిటి?
What is the use out of this superficial knowledge?
Practical knowledge లో నీవు ప్రవీణుడు కావాలి.
Have that practical knowledge.
నీ నిత్య జీవితంలో దాన్ని సరైన రీతిలో మార్గం పెట్టుకోవాలి.
The practical knowledge should help you in your daily life.
మన భారతీయ సంస్కృతి అనేటువంటి అనాది కాలం నుండి కూడా ఎంతటి పవిత్రమైన మార్గాన్ని నిరూపిస్తూ వచ్చింది.
The culture of Bharat has demonstrated the sacred way, the sacred life.
ప్రేమముదిత మనసు కహు రామ 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 Okay.
Om Sri Sai Ram. We, the students of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Vrindavan Campus, offer ourselves at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Mother Sai. Swami, as we are seated here in your divine presence, and all the beautiful moments and memories come flooding back, we are filled with gratitude for the immeasurable love and grace you incessantly shower upon us. Every single moment of our lives, it is your ever guiding, ever comforting, and ever assuring presence alone that spurs us on to greater heights. Whenever our spirits have sagged and been at their very lowest, it is your immense love alone that has lifted our souls. Whenever we have felt ever so lonely, our hearts hollow vessels, it is your presence alone that has submerged the void. Time and again when we have faltered, your watchful gaze has so lovingly imprinted forever upon our hearts lessons that will stay with us for life. As we laugh, you laugh with us. As we cry, you too cry with us. You rejoice in our happiness and grieve in our sorrow. And never, for a single moment, do you let us feel separate from your own self. Today, Swami, we would like to take this glorious opportunity to offer at your lotus feet a humble expression of our gratitude in the form of a musical presentation entitled Premamritam. Bless us, Bhagawan, so that we may see once again on your lips that most enchanting smile. The first song is a rendition invoking the blessings of Lord Ganesha.
Kannana Sutta Muni Detta Chandrana. ಶಕ್ತಿಯು ಹಿಡಿದುಟ್ಟ ಚಲನದ ದಿಟ್ಟ ತಡಿ ಹನಾರಮ್ಮ ಪುಟ್ಟ ಗಟ್ಟಿಯು ಹಿಡಿದುಟ್ಟ ಚಲನದ ದಿಟ್ಟ ತಡಿ ಹನಾರಮ್ಮ ಪಟ್ಟದ ರಾಣಿ ಪಾರ್ವತಿಯ ಕುಮಾರನು ಶಾರದೆ ಉಮಾಮಹೇಶ್ವರಿ ನಿಮ್ಮೊಳಗೆ ಅನಾರಮ್ಮ ರಮಣಿ ಹಂಬಲನುಲ್ಲ ಭಾಷಿಗಣಿ ಅನಾರಮ್ಮ ರಾಶಿ ವಿದ್ಯೆಯ ಬಲ್ಲ ರಮಣಿ ಹಂಬಲನುಲ್ಲ ಭಾಷಿಗಣಿ ಅನಾರಮ್ಮ ಲೇಸಾಗಿ ಜನರ ಸಲಹುವಕ್ಕಾಗಿ ನೆಲೆಯಾಗಿ
When from the heart bursts forth in ecstasy, glorifying the splendor of the divine. The next song, Parthi Puri Vihari, composed by the singer himself, echoes this very sentiment.
Maya Manushvesha Maya Manushvesh Kamala Netra Alankrita Kesh Maya Manushvesh Kamala Netra Alankrita Kesh Kashayam Varadhara ಸುಂದರ ಶರೀರ ಸುಂದರ ಶರೀರ ಸುಂದರ ಶರೀರ ಕಾಶಾಯಾಂಬರಧರ ಸುಂದರ ಶರೀರ ಭಕ್ತ ಹೃದಯ ವಿಹಾರ ಪರ್ತಿ ವಿಹಾರ ಸಾಯಿರಾಮಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಸಾಯಿರಾಮಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಭಕ್ತ ಹೃದಯ ವಿಹಾರ ಪತಿ ವಿಹಾರ ಸಾಯಿ ರಾಮಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಸಾಯಿ ರಾಮಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಸಾಯಿ ರಾಮಾಯ ನಮೋ
ಶರಣಂ ಶರಣಂ ಸಾಯಿ ಗುರು
In this ephemeral world, one can experience joy only if he pierces the veil and realizes that there is victory in loss, joy in sorrow, and that finding the Lord is but finding oneself.
मुझसे मिले मैं
इतनी खुशी पाई मैंने लगने लगे जब दुश्मन भी भाई राह पे चलने लगे तुझसे ही मिलती गई तुम ही मोरे गिरिधर नागर तुम ही मोरे घनश्याम परतिपुरीशा शिरडी निवासा तुम ही अयोध्याराम इतना प्यार पाया है तुमसे इस जीवन को राह मिली
Navratri is a symbol of the love that exists between the Divine Mother and her children. We, her beloved children, offer our love and gratitude for her presence in our lives.
विशेष पावनी लोक स्वामिनी हिमशर पालिगा मा जय जग जननी देवी जय जग जननी देवी चरम करिक पाणी सध धनि सरगम पधनि रे सधनि परम चरम करिक पाणी गम गम प गम नि द प गम स नि द प म प गम रे सा गम रे सा 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 गम रे सा 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 गम रे सा सा परम चरम करिक पाणी
Yeah.
సుర నర ముని అసుర సేవ భక్తి ముక్తిదాయిని భయహరణ కారికా
It is a chance of a lifetime when you get to open your heart to Him at His lotus feet, to offer your all to Him for all that He has given you, and to celebrate all that He means to you.
तेरे कदमों में अर्पण करने हम दिल का नजराना लाए हैं, तेरे दरबार में हम आए हैं आज, तेरे दरबार में रहकर
बात उनकी सुनकर
नजर से नजर मिलाकर
मैं भूलूं कैसे,
मैं भूलूं कैसे।
मैं चाहता हूं कि परेशान न करें उनका ख्याल, मगर वो जो है कि मेरे ख्वाबों में आए जाते हैं,
वो आए आना आए ये मर्जी उनकी है,
हम उनकी राह में नजर बिछाए जाते हैं।
या अल्लाह,
याद रख लो, शांति प्रेम स्वरूपा प्रशांति निलया देवा
राम 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 परम सुमंगल राम राम राम
राम राम परम सुमंगल राम राम राम
राम राम राम परम सुमंगल राम राम राम
Ooh. सुखिनो भवन्तु समस्तलोका सुखिनो भवन्तु हो शांति 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 जय बोलो भगवान श्री सत्य साई।